My name is Scott Rosenzweig. I'm the president and CEO of Make-A-Wish Nevada. I've been here 7 years, CEO for the last 3 years, and we grant wishes for children with life-threatening illnesses. And as much as people still think it's a dying wish, I can guarantee you that it's not. Most pediatric life-threatening illnesses, kids go on to lead extraordinary lives. So we're just there to give them the prescription of hope. Their doctors write the prescription for medication. We write the prescription for hope.
Well done. Did you rehearse that? That was awesome. Good job.
I say it an awful lot.
Okay, I bet. All right. So do you mind if we just jump right into student questions? I already had some emailed to me.
Let's do it.
So one of the kids here in America, they want to know what inspired you to transition from the corporate world to a nonprofit organization like Make-A-Wish?
Yeah, so previous to this, I was working at Caesars Interactive Entertainment, handling online gaming, real money gaming when it came back online in 2013, handling customer support, day-to-day operations, risk and fraud, responsible gaming, you name it, I was handling it for the most part. And I would wake up every morning to 150 emails in my inbox because our vendors were in Israel and Stockholm, all over the world. So it was a crazy 24-hour cycle. And I just kept saying to myself, I'd like to do something that makes a difference at the end of the day. And I saw an ad that they were looking for a volunteer director of volunteer services at Make-A-Wish Southern Nevada at the time. And I came in and spoke to the CEO at the time. And she said, you know what? You're not for volunteer. You should be over our operations team. So that's what I did. I was over the Wish team for my first couple of years here, as well as development fundraising. And we jumped 10% more wishes in our first year, 30% in our second year. And then that third year I became CEO. So it was really more about wanting to feel something at the end of my day and being proud of what you do.
Great, great. That is just wonderful. And I couldn't agree more. Just making a difference, leaving a legacy. I love that. We have a question from Carla, and she can unmute. Carla's in Spain. Go ahead and ask.
Hello. My question is, what are some of the biggest challenges from Make-A-Wish Nevada faces today, and how do you tackle them?
Thanks so much, Carla. Wow, you're getting right to it. So look, it's always a challenge to fund. We don't get any federal funding from the government, so we do it all through individuals. So many of our donors are here locally. While we are a national organization and most people know us as Make-A-Wish nationally, we have 57 chapters across the US. We're represented in 50 countries. So really for us, it's fundraising and finding every eligible child. You know, our goal is to reach every eligible child in our region. And so we just got an incident report telling us how many kids between 2.5 to 18, which is your eligibility period from an age standpoint, how many other kids we have out in our territory. So right now I'm challenging our team, how do we get and find these kids? Because we're definitely missing some kids. And so my firm belief, and this is part of what my interview was like to become the CEO, is that I believe in one degree of separation. And what that means is that I want everybody in Nevada to have experienced a wish, or they know a wish kid or a wish family, so that when a child takes sick next door, you might say to that child, hey, have you considered Make-A-Wish, or say that to their parents. And I believe through one degree of separation, everybody knowing what we do and feeling that mission so inside themselves, that we'll never have to worry about finding every eligible child or how to fund those wishes. So wishes and funding, that's pretty much everything we do every day here, try and figure out creative new ways to make that happen. We're currently working with over 200 kids in our Nevada territory right now to get them wishes. It's about 225, and our fiscal year starts every year in September. We've already granted 80 wishes since September.
Wow, that is a lot of groundwork. Do you think a big hurdle also could be just kind of educating the public? Because a lot of people have that misconception that it's terminally ill versus ill.
Yes, that's the number one issue. And it's so funny because Make-A-Wish started in 1980 in Arizona. And by the early 90s, it was no longer a dying wish. It was for kids with life-threatening illnesses. So we've changed who we were a long time ago. It's just that people haven't caught up with us yet.
That's good. That's good. Can you, one of the kids emailed me, this was from France. They wanted to know, can you share a particularly memorable wish you've helped grant since you joined Make-A-Wish?
Well, I'll share the one that's right behind me. Guess what? I was prepared. This is Jason. Jason, 15 years old. He's actually a heart transplant patient. He received his heart transplant, and his donor for his heart was a 22-year-old female Muay Thai fighter. So he truly has the heart of a fighter. And when we started talking about his wish, he wanted a wish with UFC in a fight experience because of the fact that he had a heart just like a fighter. It's an incredible story. Forrest Griffin, who's a major UFC guy, took him on a tour, took him all around UFC, got to go to a fight. And his Jason's mom still stays in touch with the donor's mother, and she sent her pictures of Jason in the octagon, and the mother said, "That was just like having my daughter back in the octagon." So it was an incredible wish. It still continues on for us, and I love the fact that UFC continues to work with us on the regs for wishes and their phrase, "We are all fighters," because that's certainly who our children are as they're going through these life-threatening illnesses.
And can if the kids want to learn more about Nevada Make-A-Wish, what is the website that they can go to?
Yep, wish.org/envy.
All right, we'll go with a few more student questions. One of the kids wanted to know, you have a background in edu entertainment, corporate leadership and nonprofit work. How did all of these experiences come together to shape what you're doing right now?
Well, I like to say that my resume, nothing on there would tell you that I should be the president and CEO of Make-A-Wish Nevada, but I am. I started out in theater from a very young age, around 5 or 6, finished up my career directing and choreographing for places like Virginia Opera and Disneyland. When my husband and I moved out here in 1999 to Las Vegas, my first gig was show directing the opening of Madame Tussauds at which is, the famous wax museum that was opening here at the Venetian. And then through that, I met a producer who was going into corporate America, asked me to join his team as a national director of entertainment, and then just kept doing things that I felt passionate about. Joined corporate America. I stayed at GameWorks, which was a video arcade, restaurant, and bar concept created by Steven Spielberg, Universal, and Sega. 17 US venues. I helped open 4 of them, and I ended up being the director of training and development for 1,500 employees. Again, I just always sort of raised my hand. And then I decided that travel was a little too much, worked for a company here locally in the casino industry, and then eventually went to Caesars before coming here. So, my path is like this, but I'm very proud of it because doing a wish reveal is like opening and closing night of entertainment. And of course, without the fiscal responsibility that I learned during my time in the corporate structure of corporate America, I wouldn't have the skills that I need to be the CEO and president of Make-A-Wish Nevada.
Gosh, and you're doing such a good job. I follow you on socials and it's just so exciting. I can't wait to get involved personally, but I'll reach out to you guys after the fact. We have a question from France. This is Diane. You had a really good question. Go ahead and unmute to ask Diane.
Okay, so I'm a volunteer in an association, and we have a problem because we don't have enough donations. We don't really know how to promote ourselves, and because my association is considered old-fashioned, I think, because it was initially created by the church, but it was separated now, and we just don't really have donations because people don't think of us first thing when they want to donate something, donate money or clothes or anything. So we just miss resources, and we don't really know what to do.
That's a great question, Diane. And believe me, we all struggle with it. I don't care who you are, if you're Make-A-Wish or the organization that you're speaking of. Here's what I would say to you. People love feel-good stories, and the media loves feel-good stories. So really, that's where we hit. We have a local channel that does Make-A-Wish Monday every Monday. I was just on it at 6 a.m. yesterday morning, very early, to talk about our Walk for Wishes event, which is coming up in April. But the media loves these feel-good stories, and they can truly galvanize people to move toward your mission and also to assist you with that mission. So whether you're going out to traditional media and asking them to cover a specific event that you're doing, that's always a great way to get people out there and see the people that you're impacting. Or if you just start social media and start that campaign on social media to get followers and whatnot, that works as well. Also, take advantage of any opportunity you get to talk about what you do. I don't care if it's student council meeting, I don't care if it's a local Rotary Club or something like that. You have to be prepared to be the face of that mission. Get out there and tell people what you're doing and convince them that without their help, you can't achieve the goals that you hope to achieve to make mankind a better place.
Great answer. Great job. One of the kids messaged in the chat. They want to know, how do you approach as a leader decision making in your organization when emotions are so impacted by what's going on and deeply intertwined with your work? How do you kind of reel that in?
Well, it's a double-edged sword. We are, I one of my donors always says, don't call yourself a nonprofit, Scott. Call yourself a for impact organization. What is the impact that you're making out on the community? So we do have that and all the funding issues that we've talked about already. And then you have the fact that you're trying to get wishes granted for kids who may not feel well today or may not feel well tomorrow. So, you're constantly readjusting and pivoting as to what you're doing. But so I it, sorry, give me that question again, Ralph. I just got off
How
on a tangent. I
do you
hold and
separate?
I go out and I tell stories. That's all I
You're
do.
good, brother. How do you separate the emotion from getting the job done? Because that would be, I mean, because you also do, don't you guys also do deal with terminally ill kids,
We
not just
absolutely
kid,
do.
like where this is kind of like their coup de grace, like their echelon. You know, how do you separate that emotions and get the mission accomplished?
I don't. I feel it all because it drives me. Because every time I meet with a child who's going through another chemo treatment or gets a bad scan, I think to myself, what can we do to provide them the hope that they need when they need it? Not when we need it from a financial standpoint or a number we're trying to make on the amount of wishes that we're trying to grant. When does this child need hope and how do we play into that? So I usually cry in my car on the way back from a reveal or something like that. But I'm usually able to keep it together, except for we had a kiddo, Brooklyn. She's about 5 years old and or less, maybe she's three. Anyway, she got a camper. She wanted to go camping with her family. They love camping, but they couldn't go because she's hooked up to so much machinery and everything like that. And so we were doing this big wish reveal. The media was there. We were giving the family the camper, and all of a sudden, little Brooklyn just puts her hands out like this to me. And so I said to mom, like, can I take her? Dad was wearing a backpack with her ventilator and battery on it with the tubes going into her. So I had to be really careful with her. And so, but she just came to me and it's like, that's the greatest thing in the world is when you have a baby who's going through so much, but smiles at you and goes for you. And we know we changed her life. They went camping last week in California on the beach.
That's awesome. So I think that, you know, one of the skills that someone like you has in your position is probably, would you say, empathy, right? You're empathetic towards those around you and all that. What kind of advice, as far as empathy, would you have for these kids who want to make a difference? Because I personally think that there's this bystander effect in our societies where people say, it's not my problem, you know, and just kind of walking by. Like, how can we get involved to make a difference? And why do you think it's so important to have empathy nowadays?
Well, I think it's always been important. I think it will always be important. I think, the whole idea of walking a few miles in someone else's shoes is a really important concept to have. And I think that, look, if you don't feel something for a child who is going through cancer treatment or waiting to find out whether or not they're getting that kidney transplant, I'm very fortunate that I get to see it every day. And it's not just them. It's a doctor calling me saying, Scott, we've got to move faster on this wish. It's a nurse who encourages that child to dream and imagine who they can or will be past their medical journey, right? So there's empathy all over the place. It's just a matter of whether or not you decide to go all in. I was at the airport. We just had our annual CEO summit in Phoenix, Arizona last week. And I was waiting for my luggage in the airport. And there was this older woman, and she had a cart, and huge suitcases. And like, God bless, I don't know what her thought process was and how those suitcases were going to go on that cart. And I just watched everybody standing around waiting for their own luggage. And I just went up and said, hey, may I help you? And I put the luggage on the cart, made sure she got outside and everything else. So I think the more that you're around empathy, the more that you are working in the world of empathy, which we are at Make-A-Wish, then it starts to ripple effect outside of your work life, to your personal life, and then to pretty much anybody that you meet.
Gosh, what a wonderful answer. I know why you're the CEO. You're so skilled at this. So, one last student question, then I'll go with the final question. So, this comes from Portugal, and a student wanted to know what kind of soft skills are most important in your position?
Couple of them. Read the room. Know the room that you're going into. Don't go in blind whenever possible. Know who's going to be in that room. You should have done your research and your homework. Who are these people? What other organizations have they worked with or given or to or all that other good stuff? So read the room is really important for soft skills. The other piece is listening. You know, so often we're all about our 3-minute elevator pitch of, you know, together we grant create life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses. Our vision is to reach every eligible child. Well, nobody wants to hear those because they feel like platitudes. What they really want to hear is stories. What was the impact? Similar to what we're talking about right now, when you grant a wish, how does it feel? You know, we say that we grant life-changing wishes, but I can tell you right now, from having granted so many of them, the life that gets changed is my own. So as far as soft skills go, definitely read the room and do your homework before you walk into a room whenever possible. And then two, just really listen to what other people are saying. And that's what I do, whether I'm talking to somebody who may become a donor, a volunteer, or a wish family, or a doctor who I want to start referring. I really need to meet them where they are first. And then I can better position myself to have an appropriate conversation that speaks directly to them.
I love that. And it kind of reminds me of that Gandhi quote, whereas the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And that's so true. And I totally get that. So before we let you go, because I know it's getting late for some of our kids in Eastern Europe, I always ask this of all of our guests, Scott Rosenzweig, the CEO for Make-A-Wish Nevada, what kind of advice would you have for these kids as they go off into the world and try and make a difference in their communities?
Mine is don't any let anybody dim your light. We each have our own internal light that shines within us and outside of us. Be an attractor. Be somebody who's a positive influence out there that people are attracted to. Because I can tell you right now, I've been unemployed and I felt like I'd go into job interviews and they could smell the desperation on me. But once I started finding myself in a different place of grateful for where I was, grateful for the knowledge that I had acquired during my 60 years now on this planet, I began to get more comfortable with myself and letting that light shine. And I can tell you, 9 times out of 10, when you greet something with a positive attitude, you are not only going to make yourself feel better, but you're going to start gathering and collecting people who want to be around that positivity. So, as cliche as it may sound, the only thing that we can change every day besides our underwear and our socks is our attitude.
That's a solid quote. I feel like that should be on a coffee mug. I
I just
love
made it up, but let's put it on a t-shirt.
it. Let's copyright it. All right, Scott, before I let you go, before I end the meeting for all, guys, I'm going to let you to unmute. Can we all unmute and can we say thank you to Scott for taking the time to inspire us today?
Thank
Thank you so
you.
much.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.